My guest at this time is South Carolina Republican Congressman Mick Mulvaney. He's a freshman representing the Palmetto State's 5th Congressional District. He's a member of both the House Budget and Small Business Committees, and we want to get his reaction and possibly some alternative suggestions as it relates to the tax climate for corporations and small businesses. Earlier this week, the president called for a reduction in the corporate tax rate, but further analysis by others has suggested that he actually calls for tax hikes on the small businesses and also does away with some very important deductions that are currently in the code. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, Greg, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the corporate tax rate. That's the one that was – that's the fact that was sort of trumpeted by the administration. The plan is to reduce it from 35% to 28%, about a 20% cut overall. Obviously, it's been said many times that our corporate tax rate is one of the highest, if not the highest, in the industrialized world. So how much of an impact would the president's plan make?
Well, I mean, if that's all that it is, then, it's got to obviously move in the right direction. Let's give credit where credit is due. If he really wants to lower the corporate tax rate from 35% to 28%, then, hey, that's great. He's been talking about it. Nice to see him actually offer it. My guess is, though, as you start to look more and more closely at his proposal, is that that's the smoke and mirrors part. The real devil is going to be in the details.
Well, one of the details that has a lot of folks up in arms is as it relates to foreign profits for corporations, because that number is expected to be considerably higher if the president gets his way. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, and we had a chance to talk to Tim Geithner about this on the Budget Committee a couple of weeks ago. What message does it send? What about when if there's countries out there that have higher tax rates than we do? Are we going to get in a tax war with other countries that are going to punish their businesses for moving to the United States? I mean, I've never understood this desire of the federal government to try and beat up on businesses that want to grow and expand. The president's often said that we have tax incentives that force companies to ship jobs overseas, or at least reward them for shipping jobs overseas, and that's simply not true. Businesses typically go where they can make the most money and where their customers are. The president's not speaking to that problem. He's also not speaking, more importantly, to the regulatory climate in this country that oftentimes drives our businesses overseas. The bigger issue is that we have a tax policy that discourages companies from bringing their money back into this country. Apple Computer has more than half of its cash, its profits, overseas and can't bring them back to the United States without paying a punitive level of tax. That's money that could be put to work here in this country, either paid out as dividends or invested in expansion. So, like I said, the president's first step, 35-28, a good step, but there's a lot more at stake here than just that top rate.
Congressman, earlier this week we talked with the folks from Americans for Tax Reform, and they said the president is essentially calling for tax rates on small businesses to be raised to about 40%. And, of course, if the president gets what he wants in terms of raising taxes on the wealthiest Americans, that individual rate will be right around that same point, and a lot of small businesses file as individuals. What do you make of that, and what do you think would be the most effective way to spur small business growth?
Well, what I make of the president's proposals is that, you know, maybe he's finally telling us, you know, what's fair. All he's ever told us up to now is that all that we need to do is make people pay their fair share. Nobody disagrees with that. Everybody agrees with that. The question is not whether or not folks should pay their fair share. The question is, what is the fair share? And maybe the president is finally signaling that what that means is that people need to give the government 40% of their money. And I think a lot of folks will see that for what it is, which is a complete overreach on the behalf of the Obama administration. The best thing we could do for small business, and it wouldn't cost us a dime as a country, would be to revamp the regulatory climate. And you go and you talk to small businesses these days, and really, you go out and you start a small business by yourself. What you're worrying about is your business, and you shouldn't be worrying about the 22 different federal agencies that you have to get a permit or a report from before you can start your business. The president could do that tomorrow without the acts of Congress that he says he doesn't want to wait for, and it would immediately help American small business.
But Congress has acted, at least in the House of Representatives, on some of these regulatory issues. What's been done, and what else would you like to see passed?
Well, we got one out. I'll give you one example, and you could pick 100 of these examples, but there's a thing out there called Boiler MACT, M-A-C-T. This is a proposed rule by the Environmental Protection Agency that would dictate to businesses large and small that they use technology on their boilers, and boilers can be used at any size business, down to little mom-and-pop operations. Anything that makes steam can, in some certain circumstances, be considered a boiler. require those businesses to use technology that doesn't exist. It sets a standard that they cannot hit, and it effectively gives the EPA the right to come in and decide whether or not that business is then going to pay a fine or whether or not that business has to be shut down. It's government at its worst. The House has passed repeal of that bill several times this year. The Senate has stymied it. The president paid lip service to removing regulations such as Boiler Mac, but actually hasn't followed through on it. There's one specific example of what Democrats in the Senate and the president could do to help small business.
Let's follow up a little bit more on the tax front. There's been a couple unrelated stories this week, Congressman, as it relates to tax. And you mentioned the debate over what's fair. There was one story this week that suggests now 49.5% of Americans pay no federal income tax. Some of them, many of them, in fact, probably still pay state taxes, Social Security, Medicare taxes, and so forth. But with effectively 50% of the folks not paying federal income taxes, how does that strike you in terms of fairness and what it means in terms of how the political campaigns are structured these days?
Yeah, I've seen the same studies, by the way, and it's the highest number in at least since World War II. You go back as early or as recently as the early 1970s, and 88% of workers were paying the income tax. Now half of the people don't, and that's just not right. What we're very close to creating is a situation where a majority of the people don't care what the income tax is because they don't pay it. I think it's absolutely critical that we reform the tax code so that everybody's got a little bit of skin in the game. Yes, more than half the people pay the payroll tax, but keep in mind the payroll tax is a dedicated flow of funds. Payroll tax pays primarily for Social Security and Medicare, and that's what people say when they say, you know, it's our money, we paid into it. They're absolutely right. But if you're only paying payroll taxes, you're not paying for defense, you're not paying for education, you're not paying for roads and bridges. And I think everybody, at the very least, everybody should make some financial contribution to the defense of this nation. The difficulty with that, of course, is that as soon as you say that, once you've moved to a system where half the people don't pay tax, as soon as you say they should pay $1 of tax, people can start to yell and scream that you're proposing a tax increase. We have to have the political will to say it is wrong. It is unsustainable for us as a nation to create a tax system that less than half of the people have a stake in, and we need to figure out a way to make sure more money, more people pay into the system, if for no other reason than to create a check and a balance against the overreach of government.
Last topic for you, Congressman. Also in the president's plan on corporate and small business tax rates are calls for what he says is tax reform, closing a lot of different deductions and loopholes, which I know on some level Republicans are in agreement with, at least in the general principle, if not his specific ideas. But I know in general you also want some marginal tax rate reductions to go along with it. What's a good plan? What's a not a good plan when it comes to closing these loopholes?
Well, listen, right now, any plan that offers specifics is better than what the president has offered us. And I don't even care if I disagree with the specifics. Somebody's got to have the nerve. Somebody has to have the leadership drive to actually offer specifics. I've not seen anything specific from the president on tax reform or an overhaul of the tax code. I've heard him talk about it in his last several State of the Union speeches. But again, at some point, you know, talk is cheap in Washington, D.C., and we need to see specifics. Saying that it needs to be fair, saying that you need to close loopholes isn't worth what the speech that it's printed on. We need to have specific proposals out of this administration. Whether we agree with them or disagree with them, we cannot function in this area any longer without any leadership from the White House.
Very quick follow-up. Will we see a lot of specifics in the budget coming out of the House Republicans?
Yes.
All right. And I guess we'll see that in the next few weeks. We'll look forward to that. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks again.
South Carolina Republican Congressman Mick Mulvaney represents his state's 5th Congressional District, member of both the House Budget and Small Business Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.